Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy starts in less than 10 seconds.
This worries me.
Ask your plumber to install a ring.
Steady, hot and strong.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
How are you capable of it?
Put moron number two on the phone.
I don't know. I just can't talk sometimes, can I? My teeth get in the road. A bit of Tony Jones. A bit chompers.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listen to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Ah, it's Monday, Fat, and someone's opened up the freezer door. Jesus Christ, it's freezing cold and blowing a gale, and no better place to be for an hour than listening to the Rush Hour, of course. And I'll tell you what we've got coming up. A demo, of course, Monday always talks footy with us. It's brilliant. And Big Johnny the Duke Hastings.
Oh, the haystack.
Big Haystacks Calhoun is coming in as well, so we've got a nice show coming your way. Hello to you, Pubs.
G'day, yes, Pubs McGee. Let me tell you, magnificent day today. The Pubs have opened today, Jimmy boy. 55 booked in at the Cremorne.
And, well, hello.
Yes, exactly. Very good day because some pubs only can hold 40 or 60 people, 20 and 20, right. Jim. And it's a good time to actually book. Ring ahead, book in. So you get a spot, Jim, and then you can get in there and have a palmy. I can't wait to get home and have a palmy and a pot, Jim. And you know what? It's cold, Jim. Guess what day it is today? The 1st of June is...
1st of June is start of winter.
Winter, my friend. They're Hence.
Hence.
And look who we got here.
Costello with the Triple M Report at 8.
Oh. Old Sebby.
Who was that, Seb?
Croaky Seb.
Welcome, mate.
What's happening to old Moonface?
Yeah. Oh, who?
Been replaced, Jim.
No, we've got rid of Rabbits, have we? Is this a permanent thing?
That's a well-deserved break for Rabs after a big week of footy season. He's had 10 weeks off now and just time for another week off.
Yeah, so he's in and we got Ewan. Well,
nice to have you, Ewan.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Bill.
You've been with us before, haven't you?
I've done it a couple of times, Bill.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
And, of course, produced the show.
I did.
Oh, geez, he's done everything. I forgot about that. Righto, you throw to something here. Got some news.
From around the world.
Like when I went to Idaho.
One man brings you the news.
Jim, I got nothing.
Up to the minute.
What was that old news?
That's old news.
Chasing the big stories.
Just call me old newsbreaker Billy.
And going the distance.
I got asthma.
This is the Brownless Report.
Thank you very much. Well done, you and there. And some footy off the top. I know Damo's coming in, Jim. But some big injuries, let me tell you, at Essendon and North Melbourne.
North Melbourne.
So we'll ask about Madjack Dore. No surgery required, Jim, which is a good thing for Madge. So all the best to him. And, of course, Ratio.
He's torn a pectoral muscle, and that's a big muscle on that bloke.
And big, not as big as, not the biggest muscle on his body, but.
No, but it's a big one.
I think he did it in the gym.
I saw that. All right, what else,
please? Horatio, we'll talk about that because he's hurt his quad. He gets some injuries too, hasn't he, of late?
A little razzle-dazzle.
Razzle-dazzle, but we'll talk about Damo. Now, the NRL, they must be congratulated, Jim, because everyone thought they went a bit early, you know, a month or so ago. Peter Vlandis has done a good job. Mm-hmm. Well done to him.
Yes.
Everyone thought they went early, but they got through the weekend and it seemed to go all okay. So well done, NRL.
Well, except for the Melbourne Storm.
Except for that. We'll get to that. Hang on, Jim. But I want to say yesterday in the Sunday Herald Sun, Jim, NRL was front page and back. So they've got in there, which is quite interesting.
Jeez,
And also, I like the crowd noise. Did you hear it over the weekend, Jim?
I haven't watched a second of it, Fat.
Jim, it was good.
I'm not an NRL man, you know that.
They did a great job.
I thought it was.
Built up to the try and everything, it was great.
They built it up, and then even when it looked like it might be a try, they built it up. It was actually quite good, Jim. You should have a listen. I liked it. So well done to the NRL.
What happened to the Storm?
The Storm were embarrassing. And I tell you, he's not happy, Jim. Craig Bellamy. Bellyache. And when he's not happy, there's trouble. I tell you what, you bring your mouth guards to training today or tomorrow.
God.
Probably tomorrow
what
now.
What the hell? 22-6?
They got flogged. That's the third time that Canberra have defeated Melbourne at Amy Park, Jim. So they like coming down here. So well done.
They've got the wood on them, according to the ache.
They have, and he was embarrassed, so they're not happy. Even our man, old bearded Smithy, he dropped a couple and things, so can't believe
Come on, Smithy.
He is 78, so he's going all right, I suppose. Yeah,
he's got to be careful with coronavirus. He's in that age group, Bill.
High risk.
So a bit of sport there, Jim. Now I like to dip into what I call the general basket.
Right.
Okay. The oldest man in the world has died. That's sad news, but he was 112, so he's had a pretty good life, Jim.
Pretty good innings, I would have thought.
He declined a birthday card from Queen Elizabeth this year, Jim, saying he didn't want one because of taxpayers' expense. Plus, he's already got about 20, so he said, so he didn't want that one. And also, there's a 103-year-old lady over in Massachusetts, Jim, who has survived COVID-19 and... This is her. Have a listen. We've got some audio of her having a frothy.
It is cold.
How is it? Good?
Yeah. It's cold.
It's the best when it's cold.
Yeah.
She's saying it's cold. She's 103, Jim, and she's having a frothy. Which reminded us of course.
Mm-hmm. But hello to you, Bill.
Hey, g'day, Jim. Now, I've got laryngitis. Before you say anything, I've got laryngitis. I was on my deathbed this morning, Jim. Deathbed.
Which grand final was that?
Any of the grand finals, to be honest. But
what the hell?
I tell you what happened Sunday, Jimmy. Were you all over it? SpaceX.
What happened?
SpaceX, they finally took off. They left US soil for the first time in 25 years, and they've landed up there in the International Space Station. And I tell you what, because I've loved this. You've taken no interest whatsoever.
None.
But I've liked it. But here at the Rush Hour, I have exclusive recording.
Official?
Official exclusive recording, Ewan, you're onto this, of the liftoff. Have a listen.
Five, four, three, two, one. Thunderbirds are go.
Now, Willis, I can't have my name put to this. I want to know the man who's behind this. Who's the genius behind SpaceX, please? What's his name?
Muskie.
Elon.
Elon. Elon Musk.
Huey, don't you interrupt. We want Bill to get his full name out. Have another go, please.
Elon Musk. It's old Muskie. That's Telstra bloke or Tesla. Tesla bloke, Jim.
Tesla, Tesla, yeah. Righto, what else, please?
And one more, Jim, because we've got to go to Damo and there's plenty to talk about there. By the way, Adam Simpson this weekend, combined player coach games, 450, Jim. 306 as a player and 144 as a coach of West Coast.
That'd be not this weekend, but next weekend.
That'd be next weekend, so we'll just wait for that. But
okay then, Bill.
On the weekend, Saturday rub.
Early on that story.
No, Saturday rub. This is what we're ending with. As always, the very popular segment, the quiz, Jim. And when you say, now, Bill, there's always trouble. Name the Collingwood player standing the mark when Dom Sheed kicked the winning goal in the 2018 grand final.
Question.
Jared?
Nathan Cox.
No. Wasn't Cox.
He's a defender.
Righto, Broderick.
Mason Cox.
No.
Oh, good guess.
Who's Cox's now? His first name was Braden.
Braden Maynard.
Yes!
Now, Bill, I've had a couple of people text me.
What?
It was Mason Cox who was on the mark when Dom Sheed kicked that goal.
Bill, we're going to the tape. Here we go. Here he is. Maynard's on the mark.
Yep. And he's
on the mark.
Then he walks
Dom
off.
Sheed's been pushed around.
And then
Dom Sheed comes in and
kicks over.
That's Mason Cox. Jim.
Fat.
Come on, Jim.
Fat, you need to track those two gentlemen down and give them a prize.
Actually, one has already DM'd me, and he's onto it. Tim, you know those DMs you normally get of nice photos?
Direct message. Yeah.
You normally get the photos, Jim. This bloke's tracked me down.
Brett, Bill, you need to get them a dozen tour response golf balls from TaylorMade or something like that because you've absolutely scorched both of them.
But guess whose fault it was? Wasn't mine.
It wouldn't be your fault.
Ash Tua. Well, he writes the questions. I'm only the voiceover man, as I said. But anyway, there's a good wrap for a Monday. The pubs are open.
Really.
Get down there and have a palmy and a pot, for Christ's sake.
This is The Rush Hour. James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless on Triple M. You can grab us at home on your smart speaker or on the Triple M app.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
And that's now, Damo, before you go, Fat, normally what I do is I like to introduce the guest and then I demand the first 10 questions.
Yes, come on, Jared.
Today I'm not doing that because, firstly, welcome to you, Damo, the number one newsbreaker in football.
Hello, Jim, and hello, Bill. And it's nice to actually now have this time frame and this runway of only 10 days before the first game's back, isn't it?
Yep.
Now, Bill wants to take over here and ask you some hard-hitting questions. Is that right, Fat?
Well, you haven't done anything for the weekend. All you've done is drank and played golf. Oh. So you've got no idea what's going
I've certainly
on.
Certainly
so,
done one of those.
So leave it to Beaver. Damien, the Etihad Stadium Bill. Roof is going to be closed for all the games in 2020, I hear. Yes or no?
Your mail there is very good, Bill. The AFL actually did confirm that to me last week, and that's been something they've been able to get across the line with the state government. There was initially some worry about that meeting the requirements under the state government regulations, but no, all clear for that roof to be shut, which coming into winter is a good thing.
Exactly.
All right, so one good question. I'll give that a tick. Second one.
Now, 1st yep. of June, because the players will be playing next week, Jim, Damien, the players will get paid 50% of their pay because if they didn't play at all this year, they get a 70% cut. That's right. June 1's important.
Bill, second good point you've raised inside 3 minutes here. Correct. They have been able to negotiate the 50% bill. Now, just to factor in, though, that they were paid in full, November, December, January, February, March. They got 100% of their wages up until that very moment. Since that point in time, they've been paid 50%. It will basically smooth out to be a reduction for most players of about 28% to 30% on the 2020 numbers, Bill.
Okay, I'm done now, Jim.
Righto. Oh, two good questions, that's it. Damo, we read today about the grand final potentially having to be pushed back. Explain why.
Look, they're still worried about what's happening in WA, Jim, with regards to the fly-in, fly-out model they want to have applied, but the one that the government at this stage is not allowing. So basically, it's the quarantine period. Now, the West Coast and Fremantle teams are committed to going into the Gold Coast hub for the first 4 weeks of the season, as you know, rounds 2, 3, 4, 5. They, though, are adamant that they will return to WA after round 5 and, as such, will be forced effectively to quarantine for that 2 weeks, which I would think would delay the matches being scheduled for maybe even round 6 from those two teams' perspective. Now, I say that knowing, and you know as well as anyone, Jim, these things can change, and in times and in virtual periods of this whole COVID-19 shutdown, they have managed to change even on a half-daily basis. But as we speak, that's the reason for that potentially being moved back on the grand final.
Oh, surely old mate McGowan's going to extricate his head from his freckle and understand that he's got to join the rest of civilization. Is that going to happen?
Well, everything's tracking the right way, isn't it? We saw a significant shift in the SA government, which basically pulled rank on the medical officers to get football up and running again. So that's allowed the SA teams to play the showdown match in round 2, and that they will delay then their departure to the Gold Coast until after that occasion. And again, the positivity out of SA is moving forward quite rapidly now from a footy perspective, but there is no sign to this point, as we speak today on this particular Monday, Jim, of the WA government showing any signs of lessening anything soon.
How serious is the injury to Majak Dawe?
It's a touch of good news as we speak today, Jim, that Majak Dawe has got a pec issue, but it doesn't require surgery. So he's hopeful now of being back in the selection mix inside a month's time. He obviously won't play his first game when the team resumes in round 2, and I'd say he's also out for rounds 3 and 4, but I would think around about the round 5 and 6 period, the way they're talking today, given the good news that has come through that surgery isn't required. And just another one, well-known to you guys, actually, on your show, Orazio Fantasia, yet again another.
Not well-known to Bill. No, he didn't know who he was.
No, he's a coffee boy in here. But he's hurt his quad again, Damo.
Yeah, he has, Bill. He His body just doesn't seem to be cut out for footy at times, does it? A lot of soft tissue injuries, and given he tried to get a cross back to SA at the end of last year, and now he's going to start this this resumption of the 2020 season with another soft tissue injury. His past 18 months on that front have not been good.
And Dyson Heppel's training well. He looks like he might be ready for round two, but did break his finger last week at training, Damien.
Yeah, he bit like Horatio, just can't take a trick. Look, it wasn't given enough fanfare, I don't think, Jim and Bill, as to what he did last year when he played through a series of matches with a foot that was effectively broken. And if you recall it, Bill, they were in a bit of a bother there when he was missing from the team. And they then won, I think it was 3 in a row and 4 out of 5, which got them their spot in the finals. And then, as we know, they got smashed once they actually made it. But I couldn't believe he was playing, given what they were saying about how badly that foot had been affected. And while the club at the time said it wouldn't impact him in the big picture, it clearly did, to the point where even if the games had been played, he still wouldn't have been seen prior to this point of the season. And you're right, he does now have a finger issue to deal with. But given the courage that he displayed last year, Bill, to play with a broken foot or something resembling a broken foot, I would be surprised if a finger injury kept him out now. Mm.
Cardboard cutouts in the crowd for round one? And if so, Damo, I might put a whole bay up of myself.
Of course you would.
Might you, Jim? In what pose, Jim? In the presidential pose? In the suit and the tie from the North Melbourne
sure.
days?
No, nah? Not or sure. We'll work out. But either way, it'll enhance the look of the ground.
The bikini.
What about the mankini look? The mankini look.
Fancy I will never forget Cameron Ling's face. He was on the panel that night. The look on his face when I walked out is something I'll never forget as long as I live.
You'd be a president of a footy club and you come out like that.
He'd never seen a rig like that, Bill.
No, Jim. And when you're dressed up as Morticia or Morticia or whatever her name is.
And Sam describes you as an incredibly good-looking woman.
I had to run away from him. Hey, Damo, great catching up with you. Thanks for that.
Thank you, Jim.
Damo's recovery session.
It's straight to Michael Clark. He's got a wicket now, John Hastings. And he's going to celebrate it too.
Hey, Bill, we've got cricket royalty. Well, you work with that every day. But what we've got here is a man who played for Australia, Bill, in Test cricket and One Day International cricket and the T20s and, of course, dominated for Victoria for the Stars.
One of
our great mates. Exactly right. Johnny Hastings joins us. Big Duke, nice to speak to you.
Nice to speak to you too, boys. How are we?
How many games you play for Australia?
I don't know off the top of my head, Bill. Maybe 39.
Jeez, I didn't know that. Where are all you kept all your T-shirts and jumpers and all that?
Yeah, I've got all three of them.
Where are they?
Where are they? I've cleaned out the garage, actually, in this isolation period, so we found a few floating around.
Oh, good boy. What
Speaking
else?
Speaking of isolation, before we get to talk cricket, because there's lots to talk about, how are the two establishments going, please? Mr. Frankie, of course, with the lockdown, had to shut that down. Yep. I think you're just doing some takeaways and stuff, but also the gym. So tell us, how's the business world looking for you?
Yeah, it's been tough. I still think we're, obviously you'd know as well, Bill, with the pubs opening today. That's a great result. Yep. But it's been tough just letting staff go and not being able to have, because we've only sort of been, up and running for a little while. We sort of couldn't get everyone on JobKeeper and that sort of thing. So that's pretty tough. But there's light at the end of the tunnel, and we made a decision to just do some takeaways because we don't have much floor space, the 4 square metre rule or whatever it is that we need to abide by. So I think we can get 18 as of today, but our head chef's been away on paternity leave, so he'll come back midweek and we'll get fired up for Saturday and have some seats and get our full menu back on. So that's good news. And obviously the fitness world's been hit pretty hard as well. So, I think we're just waiting for clarification on exactly what we are. I think we fall under group fitness. We've only got 14 beds in Mornington anyway with our system. So hopefully we can get all those up and running. Our members have been stir crazy at home, sending them programs and everything. But I think everyone's just about ready to get back up and firing, that's for sure.
What is it, Duke? Strong row former. Explain it.
The rower.
Yeah, it is. So it's essentially a big Pilates bed with a rower actually inbuilt into the bed. So you get all the benefits of Pilates, but then you can have the cardio element as well, which a lot of people sort of crave at the end of a Pilates workout. It's just that extra sweat. So that's what we've tried to come up with. So it's worked so so far, so good. There's been a lot of really good results as well. There's no impact on your body, which is a good thing.
Have you, because when you were in here last, you look magnificent. Have you put on a bit?
Have I what, Bill?
Yes.
I reckon I'd be as close to you as I think anyone would be being in 8 weeks. I reckon I've put on about 5 or 6.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Good
It'll
boy.
Come off.
Hey, but I do see that you are playing cricket again this next year, this year.
Bill, I am. I always said to a couple of really good mates of mine that we'll just, obviously I've been pretty busy over the last couple of years trying to set up those couple of businesses, but the time has come where I'll be strapping on the boots for Q. So, yeah, one of my good mates, Chris Weeks, is captain coach there. So I always said once I finished up, we'll go and have a couple of seasons there, which I'm very much looking forward to. But I'm also doing a bit of bowling coaching as well at Frankston Cricket Club in the Premier setup. So I'm looking forward to that too.
What comp's Q in?
It's a good question, JB. it's the subbies.
Yeah.
So I think there's east, west, north, and south.
Well,
I think.
Q.
So, yeah. So Q's in that lot.
No, Bill.
I played a couple of T20s. I've played a couple of T20s for them over the last few years. It's a great club. They're led really well by Peter Sis down there. So. Ooh. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
You're not doing any bowling, of course.
Zero bowling, maybe a couple of offies if it's a dusty one, JB, coming from a bit of a height. But certainly no bowling. Just the batting.
What's the wicket? Is it turf or Malfoy?
Malfoy.
Listen to me.
Malfoy.
I used to play on the Malfoy, Jim.
What the hell?
And on a really, really hot day, it wasn't great on the Malfoy.
It'd get a bit sticky.
Oh, yeah.
Up and down a bit. No, we're on the turf.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of really good young cricketers down there, so I'm looking forward to working with some of their bowlers and just having a bit of fun on a Saturday. I can't wait, actually.
Can you teach young kids to swing the ball nowadays? Because, honestly, Haystacks, there's not many blokes that actually can swing a ball, is there?
No, there's not. And I think that's one of the hardest things as well. They watch all this T20 and all they want to do is bowl full and straight.
So, yep.
The art is definitely lost in some of the youth coming through about swing bowling. So I'm actually looking forward to getting down to Frankston as well and coaching some of that young group. I played there the last sort of 5 years of my career, and it's only around the corner, so I'll be in there most nights during the week to be able to help some of those youngsters as well. Scotty Boland's there, Johnny Holland's there as well. I'm looking forward to that. It'll be good.
All right, Big Duke, we need to hang on to you. I've got a question to ask you next. I also want to know what Peter Siddle thinks he's doing. So, Johnny Hastings, stick around.
This is the Rush Hour with JB and Billy. We've got the Big Duke, Johnny Hastings, with us.
Oh, great mate of the show. We love the Duke. Now, I've got a question for you, Duke. Who, now that you're just batting, you've finally decided to hang up bowling. What the hell you were thinking doing that all those years, I don't understand. But now that you're just a batsman, who would you rather face five overs of? Merv Hughes, Craig McDermott, Glenn McGrath, or Pat Cummins?
That's a tough one. That is, Merv Hughes just wanted to kill anyone.
Yeah,
so
me especially.
Billy McDermott will get you out. He gets a bit fired up every now and then. Glenn McGrath will just get you out for fun. And Pat Cummins is an absolute superstar. So you haven't left me with much JB.
Who are you? You've got to cop five overs. Who do you least want to face five overs from?
I'd probably have to say Billy McDermott. He pitches it up and looks to swing it. So I reckon I'd probably face him.
All right. What about Pat Simcox or...
Postman Pat!
Where did you pull that from?
I've been watching the old games
Peter
on...
Such.
On Peter Such.
Old Jacko.
I've been watching the old games on Fox Cricket Cock, and they've been going through the old World Cups. And, gee, have you been watching any of those, Hayso?
I have watched a little bit of that. How good is it?
Oh, geez,
so
it's good.
And
some of the names, you forget about the names. And Australia beat the West Indies in a semi-final the other day, they were showing it. Jesus, it was a great win. And McDermott was a very big part of that.
Yeah, how good were the West Indies back then as well? They were unbelievable.
Now, what's Peter Siddle think he's up to, please? Buggering off to play for the map.
I'm not exactly sure. He rode down. I think he's training for a triathlon, would you believe it? He looks an absolute stick thing.
Bananas.
As fit as I've ever seen him, seriously.
He's gone bananas.
Well, that's it, Bill. Yeah.
He rode down to the cafe from his place. his mansion in Black Rock, I think he is.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And geez, I wasn't there, but my wife said that he was looking absolutely stick thin. But yeah, obviously taking a 2-year deal to go down to Tassie, it's going to be a big loss, you know, for Victoria. I would have thought with their young bowling group, they would have wanted to keep someone like Peter Sill around. That's the sort of the prime of your career where these guys sort of give back a little bit. But obviously Tassie snapped him up. It was a pretty good deal from all reports. And I think there's might be a little coaching element to it as well, which I think he's pretty keen on dipping the toe into the waters in the bowling ranks. So I actually think he'd be really, really good bowling coach. He's so knowledgeable, obviously played all around the world, and we all know how good he is. So all the very best to him.
Jeez, he's turned into a very good T20 bowler, which I didn't see coming, I must admit.
No, I didn't either, but I tell you what, it just goes to show, if you keep things simple in T20, you know, he's always had a really good stock ball, but he worked exceptionally hard on his Yorker, and you know, he only really bowls four balls in T20, a good length, a Yorker, a bouncer, and a slow ball. So it just goes to show, if you keep it simple and work hard on it and have experience, it can be a bit easier.
Old kiss, eh? Yeah. Now, what about the Vics? Who can we look forward to having a look at, bowling or batting wise?
They tell me young Mackenzie Harvey's one of the ones to watch.
Right.
But in terms of
Pekoski, what's he up to, Pekoski?
Well, he's obviously there as well, Bill. I think he's done a lot of work on you know, the mental side of the game. So hopefully he doesn't cop another knock and he'll be right to go. He's obviously a superstar, we know that.
How good is he? We don't know. You'd know, obviously, bowling at him.
I bowled to him sort of the last little bit of my career, and I actually thought he reminded me of Brad Hodge, just how much time he had to be able to play the ball. That's the difference between the really good players and just the good players, is just how much time they have. Even in the nets, when you get rushed at times, because we all know the bowlers overstep about 3 metres in the nets, and it can be pretty hard. But he always just seemed to have so much time. He and Pete Hanscom actually were the ones that really surprised me. So it's going to be interesting. I don't think they have a coach yet, the Vics, either. So I think they've put that decision off for another couple of months. I've heard names like Max Klinger, Brad Hodge, which would be interesting. So I don't know. It's an interesting time in the world, and it's certainly an interesting time in Victorian cricket.
All right, Big Duke, let's just revisit the cafe, everyone's favourite cafe, Mr. Frankie, 48 Norman Avenue, Frankston South, Bill, if you're heading down that way. That is, you can get a takeaway at the moment, but she's open from when?
Yeah, Saturday. We're going to fire up the full menu from Saturday, Jim. So I think we can have 18 inside and we're going to have 6 outside. So we're looking forward to that. It's been bloody tough, but yep, we're nearly there.
All right, and strong row former, just don't let Bill in because you'll be down a bed.
Good, I don't want to go in.
They weigh 250 kilos, these beds, so I think you'd be all right, Bill. The weight limit's about 200 kilos.
Well, if I don't make it, mate, just let someone else go on it. That's fine.
Great chatting to you, Duke. Good luck with everything, mate.
You too, boys. Thanks very much.
See you, buddy.
Hey, I'll tell you what we've learned today, Fat.
What?
Anyone can do Rabbit's job.
Oh, I know.
Mate, Yui's just wandered in and just taken to it like a duck to water.
Oh, a couple of little blemishes. Blimps.
Blemishes.
Yeah, and blimps.
Blimps.
Blimps and blemishes.
Oh, no.
He forgot to hit the button early, but we didn't tell him to do that. But well done, Ewan. You enjoyed
your
first day?
Yeah, loved it, mate. It's been fantastic. What a pleasure.
I tell you what you look like, Ryan.
Oh, a bit of the...
Bert Newton.
Hey, tomorrow Lockie Whitfield joins us, one of the very, very talented footballers in our competition and a good Peninsula boy. So
exactly.
Looking forward to
speaking of
to
Silk, there's Silk there, Jim.
Oh, Lockie Whitfield?
Yeah.
Oh, no, magnificent. Love him. So, and of course, a great fan of the shows, as is his mum.
Oh, she loves it, Mrs. Whitfield.
That's it, Bill, yeah. That'd be her, I reckon, yeah. Anyway, so, Bill, Monday's normally not your best when it comes to jokes, so how are we going today?
Yeah, good.
In the day with the laugh, this is Billy's joke.
Ah, Jimmy boy, I just heard the astronauts have left Earth on Sunday. That's a bloody good choice, isn't it?
Oh, no.
That's not bad.
Bill.
It's not a great spot to be at the minute with things going on overseas, Jim, and COVID.
Bill, that is unacceptable.
All right, then. I've got a joke.
Right, good.
Why couldn't Stevie Wonder see his mates? Jim.
Why?
Because he's got a new girlfriend.
Come on.
No, she wouldn't let him see it.
No, Bill, I understand. Understand the joke.
You know what they're like when you get a new girlfriend.
No, that's it, Bill. Yeah, they tend to quarantine you a bit. I get it, Bill. I know what you're saying. Yeah. Anyway,
that's not bad.
Have some of that, Yui. Yeah.
Beautiful.
What do you think, Yui?
What a great way to start the week.
Thank you, Bert.
Stevie Wonder.
There's some podcasts in that.
Yeah, keep send 9 or 10 grabs out.
No, just one or so, Jim. Just one or so.
Triple M's Rush Hour is done for another day.
I've had enough of Bill.
But Ream hot water heaters are still working. Ask your plumber to install a Ream. Steady, hot and strong.